right before Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Kohen Shalom gave us the mitzvah, V'chodesh Azar Lachem Rosh Chodashim, that we should declare, the Bezdin of the Jewish people should declare when Rosh Chodesh is, Jewish calendar, the month either has 29 or 30 days, depending on what the Bezdin decides to do. In any given year, either has 12 months or 13 months, depending on the season, what's doing with the season, and the Bezdin has to determine this. So this is the mitzvah of Kriyas HaLuach. When we bench Rosh Chodesh, we announce in advance when Rosh Chodesh is going to be. 2 weeks ago, we announced Rosh Chodesh is going to be on Tuesday. When was Rosh Chodesh? Monday, Tuesday?
Tuesday, I think.
Yeah. So, in connection with bench Rosh Chodesh, we say a brief tefillah. We say a long tefillah, like on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the year should be, we should be healthy, we should have parnasa, everything should go well. Then we have an additional brief tefillah. Mishos and Nisim Avsenu, we go all us and we Abdus Lacheras, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did Nisim and Afloes and redeemed our ancestors from Egypt. We have the son of Bikarb, he should redeem us. So the commentaries on the Siddur explain why do we add this specific tefillah on the occasion of Rosh Chodesh benching. We just said the long Yirotzim Afanacha, Shetachadosh Alayim, Sechadosh El Tevah V'Labracha, we gave a general tefillah. So the commentaries explain because when a person is a slave, time doesn't mean too much. Because he can't, whatever he accomplishes is not for him. Under the communists, we know, they made them work very hard, they didn't pay them any money, so the work was very slow. If you live in a capitalistic country, if you work hard, you keep all the money in your own bank account, that's an incentive. So then you work harder. And under communism, everything was schlepping. It's a fact. So the same thing under slavery, time didn't mean too much. So when the Rabban Shalom gave us freedom, he said, "Achodesh Azar Lachem." He's giving over time in our hands. We have the ability to do with the time whatever we want. We can sanctify the time. We can declare when Rosh Chodesh is. We can declare which year is going to be a Shana Pshuta, Shana Mulberes. So this was in connection with Yetzias Mitzrayim, in connection with freedom. When you have freedom, then time is of value. That's why when we say Kiddush on Shabbos and Yom Tov, every Shabbos and Yom Tov, we are declaring that today has Kedusha, we are the Kedusha of Shabbos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. On Shabbos, the Baruch is Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh on Shabbos. Rabban Shalom sanctify Shabbos. But Yom Tov and Rosh Chodesh, we are Mekadosh. We say, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadosh Yisrael v'Rosh Chodesh. Mekadosh Yisrael v'Hazman. The Baruch Shalom gave us sanctity, and we in turn are the ones who endow the day with Kedusha of Shabbos, Kedusha of Yom Tov. So, whenever you say Kiddush on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you always say Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim. Our ability to be Mekadosh Zman was given to us at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That was our Chodesh Azar Lachem. We are all free men. We shouldn't waste our time. We should use the time that we have to our disposal to the best of our ability. Let's see. What is the obligation of Dikas Chametz for one who arrives at a hotel the night before Yom Tov? But if he arrives on Erev Yom Tov, I don't think the Mashgiach, I don't think it's expected of the Mashgiach in the hotel that it's going to be Bodhi Chametz in everybody's room. And the Balabos is running the program. If he's a religious Jew, it's self-understood he's not going to be Bodhi Chametz. He's obligated to, but he doesn't do it. He's relying on the people. You have the non-Jewish maids in the hotel do the clean all the rooms, but a lot of times they leave things over in the room. They don't always clean under the bed. If the people before me had little children, they could have thrown some bag of pretzels under the bed and they still be there. So you really have an obligation to be Bodhi Chametz in the hotel. The night, if you're there, the night of Yudalad, you say a bracha on the Bodhi Chametz. Our custom is, our minig is, that you take 10 pieces of bread and you put them around in the house. So if you're in a hotel, so you take 10 pieces of bread, even if the room is clean, there's no chametz at all. But if you bring in 10 pieces of bread, so you make it the chametz thing. You're making it the Makim Hashem Nisim Lechametz. Then you should say the Dikas. You should say Bracha and the Dikas Chametz. Same thing if you arrive and there are young. You got to do the Dikas Chametz. Absolutely. How much carpet should one eat and why? The Rambam writes that you have to eat kazais of karpas. Why do you have to eat kazais if the whole purpose of karpas is just to maintain the interest of the children? Normally, on a normal Shabbos and Yom Tov, you say Kiddush, and then you rush right away. Then it should be Kiddush B'Makom Suda here on Pesach night. Also, you need Kiddush B'Makom Suda. I live here in the neighborhood, so a lot of people go to visit the patients in the hospital. So they'll have the first half of the Seder they have at home. And then till Gaul Yisrael, till the end of the second cup of wine. Then they go to the hospital and have the rest of the Seder there. That's Keneged Adin. You have to have Kiddush from Makom Suda on Pesach night also. So wherever you say Kiddush, that's where you're supposed to eat your meal. If you want to go to the hospital, you can go after the benching. You have to bench in the same place where you ate. So after the third cup of wine, then you can go to the hospital and have the fourth cup of wine over there. In fact, in the days of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Gemara says, you had to eat the Korban Pesach on the ground level. You couldn't, you're not yet to the mitzvah. If you eat the Korban Pesach on the rooftop or on the upper floors of any given building in the old city. So there were millions of Jews came to participate in Korban Pesach. There wasn't enough room for everybody to eat on the ground level. So the Gemara says they used to eat in shifts. And the second shift was waiting that the first shift should get finished already. And there was a third shift. So everybody had to eat quickly. So the Gemara says they all had till the end of the third cup of wine, the benching. And then they went to the rooftops. They went somewhere else. They disappeared. They went to the rooftops and the upper floors in order to say the second half of the halal. So on Pesach night, you have to have Kiddush Mimakom Suda also. Except that there's a long pause. I mean, the Kiddush is now. And then Hamotzi is going to be an hour later after you say the first half of the Seder. So we have Karpas right after the Kiddush in order that the children should maintain their interest. They should ask, why are you eating Karpas? Supposed to wash right away. A child who knows he's supposed to make Kiddush Mokum Sudim. So strictly speaking, it does make sense why you should require a Kazayas to come. That's what the Rambam says. One of the commentaries on the bottom of the page of the Rambam quotes that goes Maimini quotes the Maharam Rutenberg. He was a student of the Maharam Rutenberg. The Rosh, the Mordechai, were all students of the Maharam Rutenberg. That was the end of the period of the Balei HaTosfos. The quote the Maharam Rutenberg points out that 10 lines later when the Rambam quotes the rest of the Seder, and he says you have to eat Maror. He forgot to say you need a Kazayis of Maror, and that's explicit in the Mishnah. You have to have a Kazayis of Maror. So Akami writes, you need a Kazayis of Karpas, which is a Chiddush. And when it comes to Maror, he doesn't say that you need a Kazayis. And the Maharam Burke thinks that maybe it's a misprint, maybe it's a scribal error. Maybe the word Kazayis belongs 10 lines later by the Maror. It's usually assumed that the Rambam thinks, even though what motivated the Chacham to introduce Karpas is Kadesh Yishol Luhati Noikais, but bottom line, he instituted it as a mitzvah d'achila. So if it's a mitzvah d'achila, say you need a kazayis. But in the Shulchan Aruch, by the time you get to the Shulchan Aruch, they recommend you should not have a kazayis. You should not have a kazayis of Maror. For the following reason, Tosfos raises an issue. If you eat something, let's say a person in the middle of eating a sandwich, he said, I'm Moitzi, and he's eating a tuna fish sandwich. So he doesn't have to say shakol on the tuna fish. There's a din of ikar and tofel. There's a din, tuna fish is part of the meal. What if in the middle of the tuna fish sandwich, he decides to have a chocolate bar? Chocolate bar does not fit in the middle of the meal. A guy decides he wants to have a drink of schnapps in the middle of the meal. The schnapps doesn't fit in. If you're thirsty, you drink milk, coffee, water, wine. But you don't drink schnapps. Schnapps is when you want to relax or something. So if the person wants to have schnapps, so he wants to have a chocolate bar, he deliberately has to do a separate bracha. That's not considered normal by machmas hasudim. So this raises a question. If you eat bitter herbs in the middle of the meal, how does that blend in with the rest of the meal? Shouldn't you really have to say barakul adama before you eat the bar? So this gives one answer. They quote Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim. It's Rabbi Yosef Bonfi. So they translated it into Hebrew, so they call him Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim. Rabbi Yosef Tuvelim was before the period of the Balei HaTosfos. So he says that when you say Bor Pri Adom on the Karpas, you should have in mind that this is going to cover the Maror. Tosfos is not happy with that. Tosfos said, what do you mean? It's such a long pause in between the Karpas and the Maror. How can you say that's a Hesa Hadas? And Maror asks, why do you have to wash a second time before you're about to eat the matzah? You just washed an hour ago before you dip the carpus into the salt water. Why is it necessary to wash again? So the Gemara says, because there was an hour pause in between. There was a Hesach Hadas. So Hesach Hadas from the Tillis Yadam, you have to wash your hands again. Shouldn't be considered a Hesach Hadas for the Bar Pri HaAdama. How can you say the Bar Pri HaAdama, the carpus is going to cover the Mar? So Tosfos thinks that it's a Hesach Hadas and the Bar Pri HaAdama, the carpus cannot possibly cover the Mar. But on Pesach night, the bitter herbs are on the menu, whether we like it or not. The Rebbe Shalom put it on the menu, and it's considered Barm HaBayim Achmas HaSudim. the way our practice is, we don't eat bitter herbs. We eat romaine lettuce. A lot of people eat romaine lettuce in the middle of the meal. A lettuce, a vegetable salad. So that's another suggestion that Tosfos gives. Either because Al Pi Din it's on the menu, or the Baruch Shalom put it on the menu, you have to eat first matzah, and then mora al matzahs and rav yachlu in that order. So the mora is considered barm habay machmas hasuda according to the halacha, or because we eat lettuce all year long. You eat lettuce salad in the middle of the meal. So this is a machlekes and two opinions in Tosfos. So the Shulchan Aruch says you should try to satisfy the both opinions as follows. You say barm padom and the karpas, have in mind this is going to cover the mora. And according to Tosfos, that it doesn't cover the mora because it's a long hesach habda'ah. So the mora is covered with that mitzik, so that's not a problem. But if you consider the hesach habda'ah, then you really should have said for the nefashes after eating the karpas. If a person eats vegetables before he washes for bread, any day of the year, a person especially says barak adoma before he starts eating a meal, and then he eats the meal. In the middle of the meal, he has more vegetables, so the barak adoma that he said covers the vegetables he ate before. And he continues to eat vegetables in the middle of the meal, and then he's going to recite Birchas Hamazon at the end. So the Birchas Hamazon covers not only the vegetables in the middle of the meal, covers the vegetables before the meal as well. But if there was a long Hesach Hadas, you had vegetables 2 hours before, and then there's a major Hesach Hadas, and he plans to have a major Hesach Hadas, and is going to have a meal later with vegetables, then he really should have said Bar Nefashis after having the vegetables. The Birchas Hamazon will only cover the vegetables that he had in the middle of the meal, not going to cover the vegetables that he had before. So according to the Baal Yad Tosfos, that is considered a Hesach Hadas between the eating of the karpas and the eating of the mora later, then if you're going to have a kazayis, you really ought to say burn the fashas. In order to avoid getting involved in this machlekes, and that's why the Shulchan Aruch recommends you should say burn kadoma on the karpas. Have in mind that this should cover the mora. Make sure you eat less than a kazayis. So, and you don't need burn the fashas on that. And then the mora in the middle of the meal will be covered. And usually the women are starved on their Pesach because the men have a go to work, the men sit and learn. But the women are working the whole day, so the women are usually starved when it comes to the Seder. So the women want to eat karpas, they want to eat something, they're hungry already. So if they leave a kazayis of karpas, you tell them they should continue to nibble on vegetables every 10 minutes, they should have some more vegetables. So there won't be a shayla the Hesach Hadas. What do I do in order to engage the children at the Seder? You have to say, in Shulchan Aruch it says, you have to, if your children don't understand Hebrew, you have to say the Seder in English. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. They said there was a Baal HaTais who lived in London, and his wife and his children didn't understand Hebrew, so he said the Hagbah in English. So my grandchildren, my children know Hebrew, but my grandchildren don't know Hebrew yet, the little children. So we say the Hagbah in English. My wife has all kinds of tchotchkes hanging on the chandelier and on the table, all dumped by the Akim or all kinds of things. So the children are all excited about that shtick. Everybody has the practice. The children steal the afikomen and they hide it. So that's that keeps them awake for a while. Okay, we'll open the floor to other discussion. Bach
al Shah. Where is it saying the Shulchan Aruch that you should say the Seder in English if the kids don't understand Hebrew?
That's what it says.
There?
And there's a space off. And the chapter and verse. They quote the Baal HaTais who lived in London. He said the Haggadah in English for his wife and for his children. My wife knows Hebrew, but my grandchildren don't know Hebrew. Yeah. He solved all the world's problems. Almost. Yes.
What's the idea of having to eat the Afikoman before Chatzos?
The Tanoim in the days of the Beis HaMikdash had a machlokes regarding that there was an old din. You have to finish eating Karp Pesach by Chatzos, by midnight. So the Tanoim had a machlekes, whether that's a din d'orais, a din d'rabban. In the first parak and brachas, Rebbe Akiva, I think, is of the opinion that it's only a din d'rabban. In the Torah, you can eat Karp Pesach all night long. Abloz Manzai thinks not so, that Chatzos is a din d'rabban, because the phrase that appears in Chumash, Yochas Habasa Balayla Hazeh, that expression appears by Makas Becheres. Right there, it's Mitzayim Balayla Hazeh. And Makas Becheres took place exactly at the split second of Chatzos. So that's why one should complete eating the Korban Pesach by Chatzos. What's the difference whether it's a din d'orais, a din d'rabbanan? So the Gemara says, if it's a din min haTorah, then it carries over to the matzah as well. So even today, when we don't have any Korban Pesach, you have to finish eating the matzah by Chatzos by midnight. But if you order it's only a gzera mid the rabbanon, why did they, what motivated the Chacham to make a gzera the rabbanon? Because they're afraid if you'll permit people to eat the Korban Pesach even after midnight, so late at 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock, a lot of people like to stay up with the Seder till doomsday. That's why here in the neighborhood they have minyanim on Pesach morning at 10 o'clock in the morning, because everybody went to sleep at 3 o'clock in the morning. All the children used to compete with each other. Chalamai, they would all get together. We finished the Seder at 3 o'clock. We finished the Seder at 4 o'clock. My children would say, we finished the Seder by 4 o'clock. We finished the Seder by 6. So the Gemara says, if it's only a Gzerim and the Rabbanon that you have to finish eating the Pesach by Chatzos, what motivated them to make a Gzerim? We're afraid that the people will continue to eat the Korban Pesach after Alos HaShachar. Alos HaShachar is around an hour and a half before sunrise. It's pitch black outside. And if you eat Korban Pesach after Alos HaShachar, you chayv kuris. It's nicer. So they made a Gzerim and the Rabbanon. They're laharchi kisa odam minu aveiru. If you eat matzah after Alos HaShachar, the world doesn't come to an end. So you say, a bracha levatol al achilas matzah. There's no mitzvah. So bracha levatol is only with the rabban. You eat before shachris. The Babaji always eat before shachris. Other people always eat before shachris. It's not proper, but it's not an isa karis. It's not chayit karis with it. So the Gemara says, if it's only a gzera with the rabban by the Korban Pesach, then they never applied it to the matzah. But if it's a dim in atayra, then it carries over to the matzah as well. So how do we paskin? Do we paskin that even Korban Pesach by Chatzos is a dimin atarim the Rabbanon? So Tosfos is not so sure. Tosfos points out that the Mishnah is el mekayman. The Gemara, Tosfos quotes the Gemara. The Gemara says that the Mishnah is el mekayman clearly follows the opinion that Chatzos is a din deraisa by Korban Pesach. Because it says in the double negative, a Pesach ein anechal ela at Chatzos. Double negative means it's a real serious din, a real dimin atarim. If it would have only been in the Adim of the Rabban, it wouldn't have been so strict in the Nechel Ela Chatzos. It would have written Erech L'mos Acha Chatzos. In the Mishnah, the Stam Mishnah in Zvachim, in Zeh Amakayim, and it's printed in the Siddur, in the Nechel Ela Chatzos, sounds like it's a real Dinder. I said, it's not sure how you should pass him. In the days of the Bali Atesis, the practice was to be choshish for Rashi. Rashi came up with a fantastic Kiddush when you learn Psochim. So you learn the first parak, the second parak talks about baking matzahs. When do you have to bake the matzahs? You can have matzahs from last year. You can have matzahs from all the bakeries where they bake matzahs. They're finished by Purim. They're finished baking all the matzahs for Pesach. So Rashi came up, and the Gemara says like that. You can bake the matzahs way before Pesach. So Rashi came up with the Chiddush when you get to next to the last davar in the Sichta. The Gemara says that if Chatzos is a din deraisa by Korban Pesach, that it carries over to the matzah. So you see that the Zman Achila carries over from, there's a Hekesh between Korban Pesach and Matzah. So Rashi says, based on that Gemara, that the Hekesh also applies to the preparation of the Matzah, that just like the Korban Pesach, you have to shecht it Erev Pesach in the afternoon, after Chatzos. So to the Matzah, you're only answer the mitzvah Matzah, if you bake the Matzah, it's on Erev Pesach for the afternoon. So today, everybody knows that's a Hasidish Amais. Only the Hasidim do that. Originally, Rashi came up with this, and all of Rashi's grandchildren were the Bali Atesus, and they all followed what the grandfather said. They all baked the matzahs on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. A few centuries later, when it came to Vilna Gaon, so the Vilna Gaon disagreed with Rashi, and he made fun of Rashi's opinion and said, what are you going to do if Erev Pesach is Shabbos? So the din is, you shech the Korban Pesach even though it's Shabbos. You're going to tell me you're going to bake the matzahs on Shabbos. That's ridiculous. What did Rashi do? What did the Bala do? He said, they baked the matzahs on Leil HaSeder. They didn't bake it on Shabbos. They baked it on Mitzvah Shabbos, which is Pesach. So the Vilna Gaon says, you haven't accomplished anything. You can't bring the Korban Pesach, Leil HaSeder. So you're not accomplishing anything by baking the matzahs on Leil HaSeder. But that was the practice of the Bala Tosis in France and Germany. That's what they all followed. Rashi, they felt that you and the Hasidim never accepted the Vilna Gaon because the Vilna Gaon attacked the Hasidus. So the Hasidim, now it turns out the Hasidim are the only ones that do this practice. They only use matzah for the Seder that was baked on Erev Pesach after Chatzos. The Vilna Gaon was the Misnagna followed the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon did away with the Shitas Rash. But you should keep in mind that this was the old Shita. This was all the Bali Atosis did like that. So they describe what they did. When Erev Pesach fell out on Shabbos, they would bake the matzahs on the Shabbos, but the Jews never had their own bakery. The Jews were always in a business that you make money. You have a bakery, you can bake money. bakeries don't make so much money. They sell all kinds of fancy cakes. But years ago, bakeries didn't make money, so the Jews didn't have any bakeries. So they had to rent from a non-Jew the right to use their oven. The non-Jews were frume Christians, so they didn't do any malacha on Sunday. And not Sunday, Sunday from a Tzoy Shabbos, from sundown to sundown, like they say on the radio. The Jewish Sabbath and Jewish holiday, from sundown to sundown. So they wouldn't do any malacha on Tzoy Shabbos till Sunday night, and they wouldn't rent out, it's against their religion. They wouldn't rent out their ovens to the Jews either, that they should bake the matzahs in the ovens on Tzoy Shabbos. So there's always one Christian in town who wasn't so frum, and they would bribe him. And all the families would line up in order that they would take shifts, and each one would bake the matzahs. So they didn't begin to bake the matzahs till Tzeisar Kochav, 8:15. And then they had a baking shift, so some of them didn't bake the matzahs till after Chatzos. They didn't begin to bake the matzahs till after Chatzos, when it was their Pesach, Holiyas B'Shabbos. So most of the Bali Atesis didn't follow this chumra of finishing before Chatzos. But in Shulchan Aruch, it's quoted, they quote from the Ran, that not only should you finish, you should try to finish the Afikayman before Chatzos, you should try to finish all the Abakaisis by Chatzos as well. Echen be'adeh, that you can be Mekel, that you can sing after Chatzos. But the Abakaisis, it says, you should try to finish by Chatzos. The quote, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach didn't want to hurt his wife's feelings, so if he saw that it's gonna, the meal is going to schlep, he would try to encourage his wife, she should serve all the courses to them, prepare a lot for Pesach. And if it turned out that in order to make chatzos, they would have to cut out one of the courses in the meal, so he wouldn't make chatzos. It's not right to be machmir at the expense of your wife. If your wife prepared so much and she wants to serve it, then you're going to say you have to cut out the dessert or something in order to make chatzos, so that's not right. You have to tell your wife in advance, so she'll know her own. Usually assume that if the pills don't taste good, nips on machilas, nips machilas hakelas, then there's no problem. The vitamins usually they don't taste good, they taste awful. If you have a coating on the outside, usually often they'll put some flavorful coating on the outside. The flavorful coating may be drink, or maybe chametz, that's a problem. But if you just have a pill that doesn't taste good, and the capsule of the pill is like a piece of plastic, So there's no problem of trefis. The Gemara says that the Sa'or in the Chumash doesn't mean yeast. When you buy a packet of yeast, Fleischmann's yeast in the store, that's not what the Chumash is talking. The Chumash means when you mix flour with water and you let it rise. So what's happening is that the microorganisms are eating up all of the dough, and then they keep on reproducing, multiplying. So you have to bake it. You have to bake it at a certain time to make sure that it doesn't keep on reproducing and multiplying. So if you save over years ago, so they would save over a fistful of this raw dough. They would bake everything all year long. They bake everything. Then they would save a little bit. So Bala Buster would bake challahs next week on Thursday, on Friday. So she would have this fistful of dough, where the microorganisms kept on eating up all of the dough and reproducing, multiplying. There was no dough left. There was only microorganisms. The thing tastes awful. Nifsim achilos adam for sure, and the Rebbe thinks it's even nifsim achilos hakelef. So why does the Chumash say that it's aser? So the Gemara says, because re'el hamas ba'is and sacheres, because next week you're going to use this as an ingredient. You're going to throw this piece of dough, raw dough, next week when you're going to mix flour with water. You want it to rise. You don't want it to take 20 hours. Usually when your mother makes challahs, it takes a couple of hours. With the yeast, it takes a couple of hours. So since this raw dough that you left over from last week is going to be used as an ingredient next week when you're going to bake the challahs for next week, that you should cause it to rise, and it's going to blend in. It's going to taste delicious. So that that's still considered also lachid. This is in all of trachis, like that. Sometimes Crisco has a heksher now. Years ago, it used to be non-kosher. So if you have a tub of Crisco, you have a container of Crisco. The thing is like a plastic. That's not very lucky. No normal person would eat that. They wouldn't eat it either. But Crisco is an ingredient that you mix into the food. So even though it's not very lucky the way it is, but since it's oimed to serve as an ingredient, so that's the pasuk in Sa'or, that's the pasuk in the Chumash, that is still also b'achila, despite the fact that it's nifsal me'achim. Yeah.
How are the various ways to do beer chametz?
To do beer chametz. The Mishnah has a machlokes hatanoim, and it's a machlokes in Taisus, how we pass. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is Eik B'yocham B'zel of Esreifa. He learns that from Sukkim. You have to dafka burn it. And that's the common practice, because some of the Balei HaTaisus pass like that. The only way to fulfill the mitzvah is by burning. And the Chachamim, the majority opinion, and the Beis HaTaim, majority opinion is that Hash B'sasa B'chol Tov, you can flush it down the toilet, or you can crush it up into tiny particles and throw it into the ocean, or scatter it in the air and have it scattered all over the place. So the Chatzil, it says, Shulchan Aruch, we are choshish for that opinion, and the Taisus of Paskins like Rabbi Yehuda, because you have a few Mishnayos like that. It sounds like we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. But if you really get stuck, then the din is Hash B'sasa B'chol Tov, you can fulfill the mitzvah of Tashbisa by destroying it any other way. If what? If baking the matzahs, it's like preparing Korban Pesach. At baking the korbanos, you only need a coin for the four avodas adam shchita. Even shchita, you don't need. Kabbalah halacha zrika. Shchita is an avoda, but it's not an avoda that needs a coin. There are other avodas, let's say haktoris emurim, can be done at night. Yeah. You don't need a coin for everything. You don't need. Not every avodah needs a coin. Interesting. Good.
What's the
Indian
of Eliyahu Navi by the Seder?
The Midrashim tell us Eliyahu Navi comes to every bris. Because he complained against the Jewish people, this bris ha-hefer. So the Baruch Shalom says, I'm going to make you attend every bris. I don't think it says in Midrashim anywhere that Eliyahu Navi comes to the Seder. There's a question in the Tanoim. They instituted Arba Kaisers because there are four Lashon HaShalgul that say that. There's a question, maybe we should have a fifth cup of wine. But the Rabban Shalom took this Eretz Yisrael, then he kicked us out of Eretz Yisrael. Now he gave us back Eretz Yisrael. So it's a question whether it makes sense to institute a fifth cup of wine. So the Rif has a Girsan, the Gemara, that they talk about the Kos Chamisha. So we say, Lasilavim and Eliyahu, now we will come, we'll probably have a Kos Chamisha. So we call that the Kos Hashem Eliyahu, the fifth cup. But I don't think it says that the Midrashim Eliyahu Navi comes to the Seder. I don't think that's right, that they tell a Baba Maisa to the children, they have a Kosher Shel Eliyahu, and then when the children go to the door to open the door, so they pour out part of the wine. Did you see Eliyahu Navi drank part of the wine? The whole thing is a Baba Maisa. Who says Eliyahu Navi comes to the Seder? Eliyahu Navi used to come visit the Taroim and Amoroim, okay? Not on the Seder, all year long. If you're worthy, Eliyahu Navi will come and visit. Not specifically on the Seder.
Why are Ashkenazim Machmer on Kidneyot, and will Kidneyot always
rely
in the future?
There are different reasons why the Machmer on Kidneyot is based on a Gemara. The Gemara, Tosis quotes the Pirush of the Oroch. The Oroch is a dictionary. The Rashi and Tosis quote, there's a dictionary of Talmudic terminology. So the Oroch interprets the Gemara like that. That the Rava was upset why they permitted the chef and the Reish Galusa's home to cook kidneys and water. The chef, the people working in the kitchen, are not such great Yerushalayim. They're not such big tzaddikim, so if you'll permit them to cook kidneys, next thing you know, they're going to cook grain with water, and that'll turn into chametz. That's the basic reason. Then they developed, the Middle Ages developed another reason, that the kidneys farm would sometimes be right next to the farm where they grew grain. So if you're going to, some of the wind will blow some of the grain into the kidneys. And you're going to think that you're cooking kidneys, and you're really cooking part of it as grain, and the grain will become chametz. In recent years, Dain Grosnas used to be a dain in the desert in London. I knew him through my lifetime. He died 30 years ago. I don't know. So he has the first tshuva in his sefer was that the kidneys field was right next to the wheat field. And when they ground up the wheat to make matzahs, 10% of what the flour was really kidneys. Which otherwise, if they have to tell about them, they should eat one tenth more. Because you're supposed to eat the kazayas of matzah. Kazayas of matzah has to eat the grain. 10% of everything was really kidneys. He has a long truth about that. And you say people derive, but you say that the kidneys convert to become like chitin. Or not so. But that's still a common practice. They grow the kidneys next to the wheat. See, that reason is still a thing. So in America, they extended some, in recent years, they extended the minigal kidneys to include even peanuts. I was a student in this building in high school. So the Rebbe had learned in Shanghai, he learned the Mirishi, the Yoruba. says he remembered they always used to eat peanuts on Pesach. Then he says when they were sitting in the Beis Medrash in Shanghai, so the Chinamen started to say, "Hametz, hametz." He said, "What hametz? When hametz?" They didn't know what he was talking about. He kept on pointing. So he said, "Where?" Kept on coming closer. But finally he touched the peanut. He said, "What are you talking about?" That's when they were introduced to this, that peanuts are hametz. He said, in Europe they never heard that there's a meaning not to eat peanuts. And here in America, when I was growing up, so everybody used plant as peanut oil, kosher l'Pesach, and hashgacha, plant as peanut oil. Now nobody uses peanut oil. They're so machmer on the kidneys that even the shemi kidneys you don't use either. That was a big fight in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Kook, the first chief rabbi, permitted shemi kidneys. And the badats almost killed him over there. All the classical poskim say it's permissible. So he said, like all the classical poskim. Somehow this meaning that the Ashkenazim have not eat kidneys keeps on growing bigger and bigger. We're trying to limit it a little bit.
Someone's flying on Monday morning with Pesach, and they're flying too early, like go to see him. By the time they land, they're not able to go to see him. But someone's supposed to do it.
Let it fast. No, it doesn't come to an end. Which way are they going, east or west?
West.
West, the day's going to get longer. Oh, you're not young. Can I see him? Stop running out. Let's see him.
Is there people who when they go to Israel and they keep one day of winter, then some people they fly back. What would be the eighth day? They fly back from Israel to America. Is that necessarily material?
Those who fly back on the last day, those only of them, let's say, have children who live in Eretz Yisrael. Some of us sometimes come to America to visit. He's in the airport too much, so he's not allowed to drive. For him, it's not yet, he doesn't have to say after Shemi till he comes to civilization. So the airport, there are no Jews in the airport, no religious Jews in the airport. That's the way the airport, it doesn't work on CP in the airport building. But sorry, he comes back to
Queen.
I'll
be a person
who's
a is from America, though, who doesn't have, but also what is.
A tourist is visiting Eretz, you have to observe 2 days after. During the days of Rabbi Yosef Karo, he used to have tourists who visited Eretz and saw the Shomer Shigol. And he writes in Chivas Afkis Recha that the tourists would observe 2 days after. He said, Kiddush, you have a regular say to everything, regular. That was a common practice for many, many years. And then the Chacham Tzvi came along and he thought Chacham Tzvi never walked there. He never stepped foot in Eretz. So he lived in Europe. So he thinks that any tourist who's in Israel should only observe 1 day. In recent years, it became more popular. The Minchachil, the Mincha Zaluza, also held that you only observe 1 day Yom Tov. For a tourist who's visiting Israel, only 1 day Yom Tov. So he came, he wanted to visit Eretz, so he used to correspond with Alafandri, who was known as the son of Radish. He tried, he was over 100 years old, being in Kabbalah. To correspond with the Sovereign Kadisha, and he wanted to come visit him, and he kept on pushing him up. He said, "Not yet." And he sent him a letter, "Kiva Moya, you should come now, come to the airport." He said, "I'm busy baking matzahs now, I'm going to come after Pesach." So he came after Pesach. That's when Alafandri died. And he enjoyed it so much, he wanted to stay over Shavuos, but he realized he was going to make a whole balloon, because he holds only observed 1 day Yom Tov. And so all the tourists had done 2 day Yom Tov. So he went back to Poland. In recent years, it became more popular. Rav Kook, the first chief rabbi in Eretz Yisrael, in recent years, he also felt like that. He only keep 1 day Yom Tov. He used to be tourists came from Europe, and they observed 2 days. And he said, "You should only observe 1 day Yom Tov." So they said, "It's Daik Al Lachza." Daik Al Lachza. So he said, "You are Lach Ardas. You should go back." But very hurt. Some of those people were later killed by the Nazis. Realize I should have listened to Rav Kook. You shouldn't go back. You should stay here in Eretz Yisrael. They have the famous story about Rav Kook. One of the hotel owners came to the hotel, but basically had a lot of tourists come from Europe. So he asked him, "What are you going to do the second night? You want to have a seder?" So he said, "Yeah." All the tourists want to have yom. He said, "I can't give you an hafsha. It's against the din. Only supposed to be 1 day." So the hotel owner didn't know what to do. The people are going to come. He has no hashgacha. They're not going to take his word for whatever discussion. And he already had people had committed. They were coming. They had placed an order that they're coming to Israel. They didn't know what to do. So someone told them in Eitzel, you should go to Merkaz Harava, get one of the married young men who needs a parnasa and has two children. Yes, and this will be the Mashiach. Playing music while they were having this thing.
Regarding selling chametz, is it a way to get out of getting rid of your chametz, or is it a way to make sure that the specks that you didn't find
It's not right to get out of the mitzvah of destroying the chametz. We usually sell 98% of the chametz, and 2% we do destroy. Otherwise, the mechiras chametz would taka be a harama. That's not right to do a harama, to pati yourself. Harama means a legal fiction. In the normal course of action, I'm not in the business of selling. I'm not saying a person doesn't normally sell the chametz that he has in his home. It's a storekeeper sells. So if you sell 98% of the chametz and the rabbi sells the chametz in the morning of Erev Pesach, after he sells 98%, then I burn the 2% that I have left. So then I have fulfilled the mitzvah, be a chametz. If I burn the chametz before, then I didn't burn all, I still have 98% of my chametz. Then the rabbi sells it, so that probably is a chametz. That's probably not right. But if you first wait till the rabbi sells the chametz on Erev Pesach in the morning, not going to leave you too much time. Rabbis usually sell it the last minute before there's money. So you have to burn the chametz after the rabbi sells the 98%. So then you are in fulfillment of the mitzvah by burning the 2% that you left over.
So it's okay if you put all your chametz in the garage freezer and sell it. Not all of it, but let's say a lot.
Yeah, Rabbi Soloveitchik always used to recommend to the Talmidim and Yeshiva, to the Balabatim also, to be machmer for that opinion. There's a sefer Pchor Shor on Sochem by the author of the Tvor Shor, Yeridea. So he thinks that it's not right to rely on Mechiras Chametz for Chametz Bien, for cakes and cookies, real spaghetti, that kind of stuff. He says you should only rely on Mechiras Chametz for Taruvas Chametz. But real Chametz Bien, you shouldn't rely. Yeah, so Rabbi always used to recommend that. But the general practice is usually not like Rabbi Soloveitchik. His students follow what he said, but most of the people do not. There's one of the great Gedolim was the author of the Nesivos. So the Nesivos has a collection of tshuvas that's called Nachlas Yaakov. This is the first tshuva in the Nachlas Yaakov. The rabbi from Bichach started to pick on him, why he endorsed the Mechiras Chametz. So he says, go fly kite. You're wrong, don't bother me. Everybody has accepted my psak. There's nothing wrong with selling the chametz. Nothing wrong if you sell the chametz first and then you burn the last 2% less. But sell all the chametz, then it's taka haram, then you can do the mitzvah of the chametz.
Who says
that
your
Okay, that's what the rabbi from the church was upset, so he sent a nasty letter to the Nesivos. So he said, go fly kite. You don't like it, so don't do it. But all the rabbis agree with me. Now, in Europe, the Jews were farmers, and they had to feed chametz to the cows. So they had to sell the chametz to the next neighbor, and I had to sell the cow also, because if I tell the guy, feed my cow chametz, so I'm getting hanah from chametz on Pesach. So they had to sell the cow and the chametz to the next neighbor. But still, the whole thing was a haram in the normal course of events. I'm not interested in selling my whole business. I'm selling all my cows to the next neighbor. So that's a haram. So the Nesivos said, it's okay. Nothing wrong with doing the haram.
One last question. Chametz,
mm-hmm.
permits for pets. What's the, you want to?
Problem is obviously Israel achilas hakelav. If the pet is eating it, it's Israel achilas hakelav. So you got to make sure that you give him kosher the Pesach food. Okay. Everyone should have a good Yom Tov. Should all celebrate Acheres. Thank you.